The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to today's action in Clonmel. We have a national hunt card to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is resident Irish racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good, all good, yes.
Good man.
Even without the jingle, yes.
The jingle will be on when it goes out though, Andy, so people might
blame it on the jingle. I have a bad day.
Fair enough. Blame it on the jingle. The song there.
Yeah.
Clonmel, what do you make of Clonmel today, Andy?
Tough old card, not one of my favourite tracks, I've got to be honest. Very sharp, right-handed, downhill, updale. Obviously ground soft at the moment. Difficult handicaps, not overly confident.
Okay, well we'll do our best, Andy.
Yes, we'll always try that.
Yes, the first race is the 125. And we start with a mare's maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. And like I said, there's some competitive races today. And we start with one. It's 3-1 joint favourites with Lily of the Moor and Theatre Bird. It's a 9-2 for County Champions, 6-1 for Love on Top, 7-1 for Oscar's Passion, and then 8-1 or bigger prices the rest. Who'd you like for the opener then, Andy?
The first reserve. This would be my nap of the day if it got in, Oscar's Passion. But, I mean, this would be a good thing in this race, but... got beat by a very good horse on Saturday called Alonso, but I've done the time for that race. It was absolutely off the chart. So anyway, we'll deal with the race without her in, but she does get in to keep her eye on her. Lily the Moor probably just about sets the tenuous standard here. Curtis at 30 the day at Garran. She looked the winner that day. She hit the front going to the last and ran around a little bit and kind of ballooned it and landed on the running with no momentum, and it meant that she got run out of it late on. Speed figure wasn't all that great, and today's conditions a little bit more softer. So while she's got a chance, I wouldn't want to be massively in a rush to take 3-1. The classiest horse in this race for me would be County Champions, and I'd probably take a punt with Robert Tyner's mare. Robert does really well at this track, and Cork, of course. He doesn't train a million miles away from those two venues. And this horse has got some good form in national flat races, notably when winning at Cork, getting the better of a horse who... has subsequently finished second or third a few times. The job is right. And went to Punchestown very, very strongly fancied in that mare's bumper won by Tropical 3, who's quite a useful individual, trained by Michael Horrigan. Only could finish seventh, bit disappointing, got beat 17 lengths. But the fact that she was only a 3-1 chance shows you how much she was fancied and how highly regarded she is. This is her first run back, of course, so I'm taking a bit of a risk that she can handle it after the layoff. But if she's anywhere near top fitness today, hopefully our class will get her through. She is a strong traveller, and let's hope she can jump hurdles.
Okay, on to the 155, then the second race on the card. This is a maiden hurdle over the extended 2 miles. And a shorty at the top of the betting, Gallant Tip, is the 11-10 favourite. Finished third in a bumper last time, and that form looks to be working out okay. And made a winning debut, is what I'm trying to say. Before that, has since been bought by JP McManus. Do you think this is a good opportunity to get off the mark over hurdles for him?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. This is probably the weakest race on the card, strength and depth-wise. The fact that Wild Sapphire is the second favourite here, who didn't particularly run all that encouragingly the other day down in Tramore for Sexy Connections, tells you that this race is very much Gallant's Tips to lose, really, if he can jump. We know he can travel, and we know he's a decent animal in the bumpers. First time up when he won in Roscommon, he was very good. Beat good old Honky Tonk and Ryan Angevine. I think Ryan Angevine's won at least a couple of races subsequently. And that race down in Limerick was run on absolutely bottomless ground, as it often is at Limerick. And he just didn't handle the conditions, albeit he ran quite well under his penalty. He got beat 7 lengths. But I think the horses that finished in front of him are okay. Our Light Supreme finally got off the mark for Michael Horrigan the other day with the tongue tie on. And back in fifth, there's a horse called Band of Blood, trained by Philip Fenton, who won at Galway on, I think it was Sunday. So the ones in behind have all franked the form. And obviously JP McManus acquiring this horse means that he quite likes it as well. It's quite a tall, rangy son of Definite Article. Sure to do well over the winter without hitting the heights. But this looks a fair start. And, you know, 11-10 with a clear round of jumping, that would look a fairly decent proposition.
Okay, on to the third race then. This is at 2:25, and this is a handicap hurdle over the extended 2 miles. And Charging Indian heads the betting this morning at 7-2. Good third last time, a much improved effort. And the form of that race has been boosted subsequently by Billy Buster, who was second on that occasion. So the form doesn't look too bad. There's been a bit of money as well for Mooney's Cottage at bigger odds, 14s into 10s. That's one of the movers this morning. But how do you see the 2:25 going, Andy?
Yeah, do keep an eye on that Mooney's Cottage. Michael O'Hare's a shrewd operator. If he's got one that's well fancied in a handicap, he's always worth a second look. And there has been a bit of cash for it this morning. That could easily snowball throughout the course of the morning. But yeah, the form horse, without a shadow of a doubt, is Andrew Slattery, 7-year-old Charging Indian. He's already pointed out that Billy Buster's won since. In fact, he's won twice since. He won the other day. I think he won at Wexford. We've also seen Mrs. Matt Veal, horse I tipped yesterday. One of my only shining lights, to be fair, on the Punchestown card. She's won now twice. So, as you said, that race is working out okay down in Garvan. The speed figure suggests it was going to be okay. And the fact that he carried top weight as well indicates that you know that performance is probably better than it seemed at first light. This is a really weak race here, this 0-95, and of course, being a 93-rated horse, he carries a nearly top weight. Roger Quinlan takes three off, so all in all, he does tick a lot of boxes. The only negative is, of course, he hasn't won in 13 starts, so whether that run the other day was a red herring or not, I wouldn't be absolutely certain about. We've also got to mention Sarah Battle, mare by Flemings Firth, who's at least one of the only course and distance winners in the race. She rounded off her campaign by winning in May in fairly convincing fashion as well from Whiskey in Red. I think the form of that race is okay. So we're left with a few major protagonists here. The number one, of course, being Charging Indian. 7-2 William Hill. A little bit skinny, but still going to make that my bet in that 2:25.
Okay. On to the 2:55 next, and this is a handicap hurdle over 3 miles, and it's Glibbin who heads the betting this morning at 7-2. Wrong Way Corrigan is 5-1, Cool Oscar 11-2, a bit of money for Sweet Shock, 10s into 8s, Trucking All Night is 9-1 with Co-Star, and then 10-1, or bigger prices the rest. So Glibbin the favourite, Andy. What do you make of the 3 mile trip for her?
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it, Glibbin? She's never won over this distance. She has run over it twice, and her best run when she was run-up to a horse called One in Milan, of course, now is trained over in the UK by Evan Williams. I think actually one in the Milan runs this afternoon at Sedfield, just for a point of reference. That was back in 2011 at Nice, and that's a stiff track. So at least she has got it in her somewhere to get the trip. But all her best distance, all her best races have been over the distances in between 2 miles and 2.5. Subsequently, she ran well on her last two starts, including fourth last time out behind that very much improved horse, Kaelin Annem, down in Garen Park. That wasn't a bad hurdle of its own right. So, yeah, she's definitely got each-way claims. Interesting as money for Sweet Shock. It looks as though Michael O'Hare's having a bit of a go today with one or two of his individuals. He's done this before, Michael O'Hare. He's had two or three horses on a card, and there's been huge punts. I remember one day at Weatherby, he had three horses, and they all got punted into very short prices, and only one of them won. And they asked him afterwards, and he said, I don't know where the money come from, but clearly one or two of his stable lads like a bit of a tilt in the ring. And this horse won first time out last year as well after a bit of a layoff at Weatherby in the novice's chase. So do keep an eye on Sweet Shock. I'll probably go with Cool Oscar here, however, despite me mentioning those other two quite favourably. This 9-year-old rounded off his season in fantastic style by winning a very good race down in Punchestown. It was a 22-runner strong field, but he won with an amazing amount of authority. He pulled well clear on the running. Now, he was entitled to need his first run of the day down in Garen in a much more stronger race than this. He was actually out of the handicap that day. He got badly hampered when a couple of horses fell down the back straight. It didn't actually interfere with him too much, but he had to swerve around him, and it kind of made him lose a few lengths, and he could never really get back in the race. But they were really trapping on that day down in Garen. The speed figure of the race is good, and horses like Barese, Ocean Bright, and Point the Toes have all either won or run well subsequently. So that form's very believable. Now, this is more of his cup of tea, 0-123. These are the kind of horses that he should be running well against. He does stay well, Cool Oscar. He won't mind the ground. And with that run under his belt the other day, I'm prepared to go with him each way at 11-2.
Okay, on to the 3:25 next. This is the Wilderness Chase, which is over 2.5 miles. And four of them in the lineup, but the as far as the betting is concerned, White Star Line and Maker Track are the two to concentrate on. It's 5-6 for the Desi Hughes runner, and Maker Track is 11-8. So do you see it between those two, Andy?
I do, yeah. I'm a big fan of White Star Line. I've always been waiting to punt this horse in a decent ground handicap chase. Unfortunately, slipped under my radar last time out when he went to list stocks. I thought the ground was going to be too soft for him, but he handled conditions really well. Perhaps as he's getting older, He's becoming more accustomed to racing on that ground, and he's a bit strong and he can get through it. But I do think this horse is still capable of even more than what he achieved by winning the Kerry National. He's rated now 143, and I think we'll see him lining up in some of the bigger races this season. With fitness on his side, I'd probably just prefer him today, despite the ground not being absolutely ideal, yielding to soft. He could always do with it, edging towards the good side of yielding. But yeah, hopefully that finish should seem good enough to beat Maker Trackers, making his seasonal reappearance for Charlie Swan. He rounded off his year by beating two useful horses in the shape of Vespa Bell and Canali down in Thurles. He won't mind the ground. All his best form's on a heavy surface, so he actually could do with a bit more rain today. And if that's the case, he could be very dangerous for White Star Line. Ross Brin, she's a track specialist here, but only rated 117. You'd imagine she'd be playing for third and fourth place money, but she could go well. But hopefully White Star Line can continue the good form.
OK, the penultimate race of the afternoon at Clonmel is the 3:55, and this is a mare's beginner's chase over 2.5 miles. Speckled Wood, the 3-1 market leader at the time of recording in the morning. Back in a tick is 4-1. 5-1 for Savina. Tyne to Catcher is 6-1. 8-1 for Back in there and Ocean Bright. And then 12-1 or bigger prices, the rest. Again, quite an open handicap, Andy. Well, beginner's chase, rather. Who'd you like here?
Yeah, hugely competitive, this one. I'd probably have to have two against the field just in case I lost one of them on the way round. My first choice would be Back in a Tick, who has got some good form here at Clonmel. Third in a 2-mile beginners last year, won by Castle Genie. That was probably a distance a little bit too short for this mare. That was over 2 miles. And then off the back of a break, she was quietly fancied to run a huge race down in a novice chase at Listowel, only to finish fourth. She just got a bit tired coming out the back straight, having looked quite dangerous at halfway. But the form of that race has worked out really good. I mean, obviously, Tony Duda has lowered the colours of some very useful horses, didn't he, the other day, winning a Grade 3. Much to the demise and the shock of probably the closest connected to Tona Duda is. But it just shows you what Back in the Tick was up against. And that, like I say, that was off the back of a 5-month layoff. Hopefully that run will do her good. She's got good form around the track. Soft ground round inconvenience her. So she should go well. And the other one is Ocean Bright. Now, this mare's been a real money spinner for connections in the last month or so. And she just keeps holding her form. I tipped her twice when she won in the middle of summer or back end of summer. And she's continued a good run. What a run that was the other day behind Ipsos de Burleigh. It was a real classy individual trained by Noel Mead. But this horse forced Ipsos to pull out all the stops in the latter stages, so much so that perhaps in another few yards she would have won. So she clearly is maintaining her form. She was also second on the flat here early on in the summer behind Little Green. That was back in May. So she does handle Clonmel. And a little bit of cutting the ground clearly doesn't inconvenience her either. In fact, she goes on all kind of terrains. So she's really tough. Gritty, we know she can jump fences now, Ocean Bright. Now, she's probably the pick of the prices, arguably, this morning. Also not to be underestimated, as she clearly is every time by the bookmakers. So 8-1 for Ocean Bright, along with Back in the Tick, looks the way to play that race.
Okay, and the final race is the 4:25. We finish with a very competitive handicap chase over 3 miles. It's 13-2 for Western Star at the top of the betting, but 13-2 the field just shows how competitive it is. Andy, what do you like in the lucky last?
Yeah, do keep an eye on Montana Slim here. As I said, looks like connections are having a bit of a punt today. Michael O'Hare's got three runners, every single runner, all running in the same colours, and have all been well back this morning. I think bookmakers are alerted here. Some doubles and trebles scattered across the country. The little provincial betting shops are going to be hit hard, perhaps. So that could easily collapse if perhaps one or two or both of them win early on in the day, that Montana Slim. And, of course, another horse that won first time out last year, so does strip well fresh. So definitely one to keep an eye on. Other than that, I think Tico should be entitled to go well here. Doesn't win very often. In fact, only won once in a career of 25 runs, but did run well here, of course, last time out when second behind Old Supporter. That was the race at Fiery Oscar, was a very short prize favourite and ran a bad race. So reproduction of that should seem go well. And the other one to conjure with here is Caddyman, another horse that runs really well around this track. Again, a horse that hasn't got his head in front, but it's not through one to try. And he was second in a race down in Tremor the other day, but all his best form prior to that had been around Clonmel. I went through all his efforts and played them all back this morning. And to be fair, other than one run, he's always run fairly solidly. So if you had a gun to me, I'd probably play two against the field. The two horses that I know can handle this track, Tico and Caddyman. But as I said, do keep an eye on that Montana Slim.
OK, yeah, as always, then, Andy, let's have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for Clonmel one more time.
Yeah, not one of the greatest Irish cards ever assembled, but Hopefully we should nick a few winners along the way. County Champions looks a nice horse in the making. Hopefully she can run well in that first, but do give an on that first reserve if it gets in. Oscar's Passion, that would be my nap of the day. Gallant Tip, well, looks a penalty kick, doesn't it? Representing the Edward O'Grady, J.P. McManus axis there in that 155. In the 225, I've got to stick with the informed Charging Indian, despite him never winning a race in 13 starts, but he'll never get a better chance. Glibbing looks fairly solid in the 255, but I quite like Cool Oscar each way. Ran well in a hot race of the day. Hopefully fitness will prove the key to White Start Line being victorious over Maker Track in the 325. Ocean Bright, very consistent mare, and back in a tick. The course specialist should go well in the 355. And two against the field in the last would be Tico, along with the other horse that runs well at the track, Caddyman.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck at Clonmel this afternoon, and we'll speak to you tomorrow ahead of good old Dundalk.
Yeah, hopefully I can get my act together at Dundalk. I must admit, it hasn't been the most lucrative of betting mediums at the moment, but hopefully that'll change now that the track starts panning out and the figures start working out.
Yes, back to form tomorrow. We'll look forward to it, Andy. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.